Mark, Blaine, and Kevin. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
The Zone at 7:02. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. If you're looking for a way to put some play in your day, then play Lotto America. It's the $1 game with those jackpots that are rich enough to make you rich enough. Drawings every Wednesday and Saturday. Make sure you stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play today. Alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram, my producer Jonathan Schaefer. Our pick is in. We have chosen David Beauclair of SMU. He is sponsored by the Tennessee Lottery. David, how are you doing this morning?
I am good. Let's do this thing.
Ready to roll?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the day like for you?
Actually, I'm going from here to the office to record a Predators podcast. It's all your fault. At IAYF awesome. On Twitter. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the normal places. Then I'm going to stay at the office, knock out a couple items, try to go home, get maybe a little nap in or some sort of rest this afternoon, and then out to the Titans facility about 6 o'clock or so and hunker down there all night.
So you won't be amongst them. You'll be actually at the tight covering the Titans.
I will be out at the, it'll be just another draft for me.
Right. They might as well be having this draft in New York
exactly.
or something.
Once we get to this evening, it'll be no different for me than any other draft.
So you didn't have to go through the whole credential pickup yesterday?
I went through the whole credential application process for somebody else on my staff, which that was like a three-pronged thing. At first I thought, wow, that was really easy. And then you get a follow-up email like, well, now we need this information, this and that. And you're like, okay, well, that's more like
it. They want a DNA sample.
I was going to say, then you get another one. It's like, now we need this and that. And, be aware. I was like, holy cow. I did request a credential, but I have not gotten down there to get it or to wander around. So I probably
good luck
won't.
To you.
Yeah, I probably won't at this point. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the draft, though, Boki, I want to ask you, where do you rank the draft coming to Nashville as far as sporting events? Because you said it's just like another NFL draft. Well, in reality, to the city, not so much.
No, not to the city at all.
Right.
I still have a hard time. I mean, obviously, it's a big deal from a commerce standpoint and all of that. I don't give the NFL credit. I mean, they've put up stuff all over but to me, it's just a draft. Like, I don't know how a draft became this big. Like, this is not the Stanley Cup final, right? This is not you guys even coming back from Jacksonville after winning the AFC championship. And, those are real sporting events. This is not I don't know what this is. It's somewhere between
a sporting event.
It's an event, but yeah, I mean, in terms of the sheer numbers, you can't argue with it that it's a huge deal, but I'm still a little confounded at how the NFL draft became this big a monster.
Oh, well, I was thinking, where do you rank it as far as, let's just say, events here coming to Nashville?
I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I can't deny
the media coverage.
Yeah, look at the. I mean, yeah. It. I mean, everything. That's why I said I don't understand how it is this big, but it's as big as anything, I guess. I mean, when you're talking about something that's they wiped out a whole part of the riverfront to build a stage. When they started talking about the cherry trees and all that, like, my thought was, look, there's been plenty of big events, plenty of big stages built. No one's ever had to do that. Well, this is a whole different stage,
get to see how strong the NFL brand is how big it is.
And clearly the scale of this, if you're talking about the scale, I mean, there's nothing that would compare. Now, the only thing possible, Nashville's likely to end up in the World Cup mix at 2024, depending on what part Nashville gets in that could conceivably top this. But until then, I don't know what possibly could. And Butch Spiridon talked about it the day that Nashville was awarded the NFL draft. He said the amount of information that the NFL required and all the documentation and he said it by and like it wasn't even close to any other proposal he's ever put together. So, I mean, that tells you right there kind of what's, you know, what this event is.
Yeah. I think, like, after the Super Bowl, it may be the biggest event and sports-related event in this country every year, because it's almost there are a lot of people that seem to be more interested in actually the draft process and seeing these players and what they're going to be than the actual football games, which I'm like you, David. That part is always kind of weird to me.
Yeah,
because you're selling hope.
Yeah.
To every fan base. Right. And that's rare.
Together. That's what I said yesterday in an event, is that the fan bases across the country in college. And then you combine that with the NFL fan base, and now you got point. They're trying to figure out who they should draft. They're always intrigued. Oh, this player is good in college. Oh, will he be good in the pros? I mean, so then you combine all of that, and that's all coming right here. And that's why this event is so big. And we probably, you know, we may not get a chance to experience it again.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not soon. The success that the NFL has had in taking this on the road, I mean, I assume it's going to turn into a tour of the league now, and pretty much every city is going to get this.
Well,
it also
becomes the thing that certain cities can host because they can't get a Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the case here, because Nashville's not getting a Super Bowl without a stadium that has a roof on it, if you ask me.
Yeah. And honestly, the stadium's not big enough at this point. I think you probably need minimum 80,000 to host a Super Bowl at this point. So, yeah, that's you're right. That's not happening. So this is your chance to sort of bring the NFL here. And it's funny, when you are out downtown, you see people walking around with league credentials, or, you know, there's all sorts of different credentials, mm-hmm. like the constituencies that come to town for this thing. Like, the first time I went to the Super Bowl, that surprised me. Like, how many current players are there just doing things when their team's not there? Like, I had no idea about that back in 1999. And I was, you would have thought, well, if my team's not there, I don't want to be anywhere near the Super Bowl. But that is absolutely not the case. And same way with the draft, there's just all sorts of people around. And it is like the Super Bowl, in that, you know, guys are having events. You know, Chris Johnson launched a supplement line last night, you know, was in town, you know, had there's all sorts of things like that going on in town. It's just, you know, I guess you get this many heavy hitters around, you try to take advantage of it in whatever way you can.
Do you have an opinion on the one day contract retirement deal with, I think Chris Johnson did that, right?
Yeah, Chris Johnson did it yesterday. Alteron Werner did it last week. You know, I like it more for a guy like Alteron Werner than I do Chris Johnson. I mean, Chris Johnson, he had his headlines. He had, for a guy like Alteron Werner, who's, you know, I mean, he's nowhere near Canton. He's, you know, but he was a good pro. He was a guy who, you know, a guy who everybody who ever played with him, I think, liked him, trusted him, that sort of thing. Just, you know, had a nice career, one great season. I think that guy deserved, you know, that one more time in front of the cameras to talk about his career and, you know, how it came together, what it meant to him, what he wanted people to think. You know, Chris Johnson was in front of the cameras every single day for, what, 4 or 5 years. You know, he had his time in the spotlight. I like that for a guy like Werner to just say, yeah, this place meant something to me, and this is what I want to say about it.
Never looked at it from that perspective about spotlight.
Yeah.
I think you're in the spotlight once you're in the National Football League, some more than others. But I don't think that's why players do it.
No, I don't think that's why they do it. But to get one more moment like that, you know, like I said, Chris Johnson doesn't need another moment. But, you know, Alteron Werner probably didn't get enough during his career.
Does he need closure, though? Does he need closure?
Yeah, oh, I don't think that, and he sort of addressed that in talking to Jim White of the Titans. Well, as much as Chris Johnson can, because of course it was I could go out and run for 1,000 yards this season. I have no doubt about that.
I can still run a 4-2.
He said that. Yeah, he absolutely said that. And, you know, which that's classic Chris Johnson. But, he also said, when it got to a point last season where I wasn't signed, I was talking to my agent. There was only, you know, there was real, I didn't want to take a job just to take a job. I would have come back here if they wanted me, he said. And, you know, so this is sort of his way to say, yeah, this is where I wanted to end up, so I ended up there. And, you know,
closure.
Good for him. He had, I mean, you certainly would know better than me, but I would think that closure is really hard to come by. You know,
for a lot of guys,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
No, especially a guy like Chris Johnson, who was in the spotlight, no question.
Yeah.
David Beauclair, our guest, 712 The Time, The Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Don't forget our draft coverage, this 2019 NFL Draft, sponsored by Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery, and by Sprint and by Ford, and by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you to silence the distractions while you're driving. Thumbs down to texting and driving. Mark, tell us about Mortgage Investors Group.
Well, Mortgage Investors Group wants to let you know zero down VA loans for veterans and military members can help you achieve the American dream of buying a home. Make it a reality. Contact Mortgage Investors Group to get qualified. VA loans offer low competitive interest rates, no down payment necessary, and no private mortgage insurance. So start thinking about owning a home today. Mortgage Investors Group can help you get started. In fact, whether you're buying your first home or your fifth, Mortgage Investors Group can help you fulfill your home buying goals. They've been in business for over 29 years. They're the number one lender in the state of Tennessee, so let them put that experience to work for you. In fact, as a first-time home buyer, applying for that first home loan can seem like a daunting task, but don't worry. Mortgage Investors Group will be with you every step of the way. Let their experts help you get started on the path to home ownership. And in fact, 100% financing is possible to take you from renting to owning. Or you can go to migonline.com. for the office nearest you, Equal Housing Lender, license number 109111. Oh.
.45 The Zone, 718 The Time. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on this NFL Draft Day in the Music City, the start of the three-day run of the draft downtown. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll have all kinds of coverage right here on The Zone. You can go down and see it for yourself. Admission is free. The NFL draft stage at First and Broadway. Good concerts going on over the next couple days. Moon Taxi, who the 3HL had a couple days ago, going to kick off on the draft main stage at 5 o'clock today. C.C. Winans will sing the national anthem to open things up. The first round coming up tonight. The NFL draft experience as well over at Nissan Stadium. Check that out.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Go ahead. You go ahead.
I'm sorry. How critical a draft is this for John Robinson? When you start talking about, you know, the Titans who have been hovering at 9 or 10 wins the last 2 years and the need to take that next step. I know that Vrabel has talked about it, but we all know it's one thing to get a team from 3 or 4 wins to where they are now. It's tougher to make that next step. So with that in mind, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's critical from the perspective that he better hit on virtually every pick. I think it's critical from the perspective that he needs to get a game changer in here. I mean, we saw it. Blaine can talk about this as well as anybody. 3-8-8 seasons from 1996 to 98. What changed in 1999? You can argue what changed was Javon Kearse.
Mm-hmm.
Javon Kearse, I've never seen a guy come in and have an impact the way that guy did. And I think this team is sort of in that same position where if they can find a guy in the you assume it's going to be in the first round, but you'll take it anywhere, who can come in and completely energize and create havoc for the offense or the defense or whatever, you know, whatever side of the ball he's on, if he can electrify this team in a way, you know, with just big playmaking ability, I think that's the final frontier here. That's what they need to find. You know, there's been talk about guys with a little more attitude or grit or, you know, sandpaper, whatever. I don't think it's that. I think you can get the ultimate choir boy in here, but if he's going to make one or two big plays every game, that's what you need right now.
Man, so what do you think, if you made a bold prediction, I'm asking all you big-time media guys, bold predictions, see if you can roll the dice and figure out who the Titans play. If they stay at 19, who do you give us a name that you think they're going to pick?
You know, I've seen Christian Wilkins on a mm-hmm. mock draft or
yeah.
two.
And, I met and, him before, yeah, Clemson.
And given the state of the NFL and what's going on, and it's funny because I was thinking about this. you know, getting pressure up the middle is so important right now. And he's a guy who you think potentially could do that. But what's funny is this is not a, while it's so important right now, it's not exactly new. When you think back to Albert Haynesworth's best years here and just how disruptive he was in the middle. And that was, you know, that was a time where all anybody cared about on the offensive line was tackles. But the way that, you know, that guy destroyed game plans in there. And, I think ideally, if you're the Titans, you want to get a guy like that. You know, the Montez Sweat. Can you risk a first round pick on a guy who may or may not have a heart condition?
Well, you got to vet it. That's what you have your training.
Yeah, but if you've got to take that long a look at something, I just think you probably can't make that move until you're like 28, 29, 30 or something, and the, you know, the value just isn't there at that, and you say, okay, well, you know, we'll take a shot. But at 19, I don't think you can make that move.
Well, how much do you think JR will be a player moving up or down? Because his history shows that he's kind of a player. You know, he likes to move up and down and draft to get the type of player that he vets and is very clear in understanding that this is what the type of player he'll be in the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, he's made in draft trades all 3 years. He's made 8 total in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he talked
about. It seems like a lot compared to the past GMs.
Oh, it seems like an awful lot. And you know, and he talked about it on Monday. You know, if you're moving up, it's because there's one player that you feel like you have to get right now. If you move back, it's because you feel like there's 4 or 5 guys here. I'll get one of them. However far back I go, I'll be good. And what's interesting is he's been really good moving up. You know, when you talk about Jack Conklin and, you know, Rashawn Evans, jury's out, but I think everybody feels pretty good about that still. Harold Landry, you feel good about moving up to get him. But even a guy like Jayon Brown, you know, he moved up in the 5th round to get Jayon Brown. He moved up in the 7th round, was it, to get LaShawn Sims. And, you know, that, you know, but in terms of value for that pick, you know, that's, you know, so when he has targeted a guy and made a move to get a guy, and if that happens, I think you can probably feel pretty good this year about what he's doing.
I'm going to give you a question. It's more of a theoretical type question is in the draft. And that is, if you can get and just give up a 3rd round for Josh Rosen, Tannehill's contract is up. You get him on his rookie contract. And Marcus's contract is up after this season. Would that be something you would consider if you were the Titans' 3rd round pick for a top, let's say, 15 type player in this draft? I know he went 10th or so. Would that be something you consider? And then you got him long term for 4 years after this year.
It's an interesting thought. I don't know how much they'd consider it because I think right now they look at Tannehill as their, you know, if Marcus doesn't work out, this is our guy.
He's on a 1-year deal.
He's on a 1-year deal, but and that's why I think this is sort of we're going to have one of you after next year. You know, the odds would say it's going to be Mariota, but I think they look at Tannehill as that guy that if we decide Marcus doesn't get another contract from us, this is our guy. We're going forward. So in a vacuum, your point is well made. I think yes, you would absolutely look at something like that. But I think they have sort of made their plan at quarterback, and it's not something they would consider right now.
It's funny, too, to see the name Drew Lock thrown around there by some people yesterday. To me, I'm like, who's writing this stuff? I mean, would they really take him at 19? That's really hard to see.
Where did that come out?
I'm hearing Drew Lock might be. Well, just, you know, people putting out draft rumors and stuff. That makes no sense.
I don't buy that at all. I think it's going to be either a D lineman, a pass rusher, or maybe an interior offensive lineman.
Yeah, I, you know, when you look at what the Colts did last year, and you look at
infrastructure,
you know, and you look at you know, back to the point of the interior pass rush, a guard wouldn't surprise me either. I think if there's somebody there,
but the point is, at least from one perspective, that the difference between Garrett Bradbury of North Carolina State and the next best center guard, the gap is large.
Yeah, it's huge, right.
So if Bradbury is there, I could see maybe them taking him. Beyond that, probably D lineman pass rusher.
And, because those guys, and that's a position, there's always, what, four or five of those guys, and then, like you say, a big drop off. Like you'll be able to get interior defensive linemen anywhere in the draft, but mm-hmm. to get those kind of game wreckers, you almost always have to do it early.
And you know, John Glennon wrote, I know in The Athletic, that any Clemson defensive lineman, whether it's Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, or Cleveland Farrell, any one of them would look good in two-tone blue. I'm smitten with Farrell. Graduated from school in 3.5 years, put up, you know, huge numbers, captain of the team, two-time first-team All-America. You know, that guy to me not only has the stats, but it seems like he has the makeup to really be a value if he happens to be there at 19.
Is that the guy that was suspended?
No.
Oh.
Lawrence was suspended.
At all. I thought that's what you said. Dexter Lawrence.
No, ooh, no, I'm talking about Farrell.
You said Cleveland Farrell, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I thought so. Yeah, Farrell's an outside guy. I don't know. Do you double vet? You double down, double vet, make sure those Clemson guys are who we think they are?
Yeah, well, it's funny. John Robinson did say Monday that the longer he's in this job, the more information he wants about guys going into the draft, that, you know, he's asking his scouts for more and more all the time. So he's trying to figure it all out.
Why is Kevin Dodd driving an Uber right now?
Exactly.
Man. I want to be in Doddsville, man. Right. We even had their coach on, right, Mark? And we were talking to him. And
Brent Venables. Like, add water.
Yeah, he's great.
We got a wet Kevin Dodd. That's all that was.
Man, you guys are tough. Double vet to prevent quadruple zeros.
Yes, there we go.
728 here on 104.5 The Zone. We've got our friend David Beauclair here. We are powered by the Tennessee Lottery. If you'd like to join us, 15-737-1045. What is your plan for draft day? Want to hear from you on Twitter at WUZ1045. You can also make your pick at 19 if you're in the role of JR. More Wake Up Zone coming up. Blaine, first, tell us about Eurofix, please.
Yes, if you've ever been frustrated with who've ever worked on your vehicle because you weren't allowed to go back to the service bay and talk to the technician and show them the problem, then you have to bring it back a second or a third time to get the same thing fixed, right? I sound annoyed because that is so annoying. Blaine Bishop here to tell you about Eurofix. Eurofix takes the irritation out of auto repair on European makes. Eurofix is happy to take you back to the service bay and back of the shop, get to talk to the technician and get to know him personally so he can understand your actual problem. So you won't have to bring it back a second and third time, of course, again. And as well, when you're back there, it'll be a clean shop. No oil puddles, dirt, trash, or grime all over the floor to ruin your clothes or shoes. And if you felt lied to by other repair centers, come to Eurofix. It's a place you can trust. You don't need an appointment like others insist. Just drop right on in. Eurofix provides you with a free rental car with every repair, plus a 3-year, 36,000-mile nationwide warranty on every repair so you drive with confidence. So for Eurofix near you, give them a call. 844-EUROFIX. That's 844-EUROFIX. Or you can check them out online at myeurofix.com.
The Zone, 734. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone. On this draft day, our show powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The NFL draft begins later on. We're going to have coverage throughout the next few days. We're watching some of ESPN's coverage on TV, including a fellow in a Frank Wycheck jersey back behind. There's a Mariota. This is great stuff. By the way, the draft stage, of course, first in Broadway. Grammy winner Tim McGraw will headline a free outdoor concert tomorrow night. Dierks Bentley on Saturday. Both those will be at the main stage. Moon Taxi to kick things off tonight. CeCe Winans will sing the anthem. The NFL draft experience is over at Nissan Stadium today and tomorrow from 12 to 10, Saturday from 9 to 6. You can come to the NFL draft experience presented by Oikos 000. Free football celebration with player appearances and a whole lot more. And that's today through Saturday. The Skirmerhorn Center is going to have Selection Square. That's where all the team officials will be at the tables. And making those draft picks when they get the info from the war room. Which some war rooms will have more people than others. The Oakland Raiders will have like two people.
They should have the Nashville Symphony sort of playing behind it.
They could play
providing the mood music.
Yeah. They do all those shows where like they play like, you know, Led Zeppelin and play Star Wars. Star Wars. Yeah, the Empire music would be perfect.
The only thing we're missing is fireworks. We do that pretty well, too.
Yeah. Oh, we do fireworks. No question. Got David Beauclair with us. He is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery as well. Have a little fun with those instant games. Let's get to some phone calls here. 615-737-1045. Paxton, good morning. You're on the Zone.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So as far as my draft plan, I will be as close to Broadway's main stage as I can possibly get tonight. This is something that's been on my bucket list, and, I mean, it'd be dumb for me not to show up when it's in my hometown. So here we go, and I can't wait. As far as John Robinson goes, what I would do if I was him at 19 and what I also expect him to do is to take I'm thinking we're going to take the guy from Clemson. Wilkinson, is that his name? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Wilkins.
Christian Wilkins.
Yeah. Wilkins, yes. And then I expect him to get as close as possible in the second round to that first pick as he possibly can, and possibly take two first-round talents. I mean, we know that someone's undoubtedly going to fall out of the first round that has first-round potential. So I expect him to kind of do what he did last year and grab seemingly two first-round talents. That's what I hope we do, and hope we go with maybe a center or another offensive lineman in that second pick. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Paxton.
All right.
Christian Wilkins will work for me. So Jason in Nashville has going on. Good morning. You're on the Zone, Jason.
Hey, good morning. Thank you guys for taking my call. Hey, sure. So one quick thing before I ask my question. I still remember the Frank Wycheck candy bars. I don't know if y'all remember that.
Oh, yeah. We used to have one in studio. It was petrified, I think, on the inside.
So my question is, now I'm my favorite team is the Niners, but we go through a lot as far as draft and talent. I can give you two players that we drafted where their talent was great, but they just couldn't stay out of trouble. That was Alden Smith, and then most recently, Reuben Foster. And so now that we got the number two pick, my question is, when you go through that, do you always just look at the talent and ignore the signs? Because Nick Bosa has already started getting into controversy, and I know it's not like Alden Smith and Reuben Foster. He hadn't showed signs like that. But with the Twitter stuff and the negative stuff, how much does that play a role on a team that's already went down those roads before? How many times do you roll the dice on, I guess, the negative side of it and just looking at the talent? And I just want to see what y'all have to say about that. Thanks.
First of all, Nick Bosa, he is very pro-President Trump. San Francisco is a very liberal town. I don't know. Listen, as a fan, I don't care about somebody's politics. I really don't. It's one thing if they're a domestic abuser, like the other two guys you were talking about. But so what if his political views run contrary, to the majority of people in San Francisco? All they should really care about is how good a player he is. I mean, I understand that. You know, with some of the guys that you like or admire in sports or in life, you want to have shared values and all that. But, you know, it's a free country. I mean, it's one thing putting up stupid tweets, which will get you taken off the draft board, by the way. But Nick Bosa, whether you agree with him or not, and I don't even want to get into that, I don't think he should be judged on his political views. I mean, it's silly. It's stupid. It's hard enough to get a guy, you know, who's talented and can help your football team. So what if you don't agree with him politically? I mean,
wonder if it's racial undertones in his
That's another thing. That would be another thing.
That was there.
Okay. Well,
and he deleted those tweets, by the way.
Well, I thought they were more just, you know, pro Trump.
I'm talking about what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if there are racial undertones, then that's a totally different area.
Very much so. So I wonder if that takes him off a board on something. I don't think it will. It wouldn't for me personally, but I'd definitely have to have a conversation with him.
I agree with you. I would want to have a conversation with him and, you know what he's about. But, you know, I just have we reached the point now where we got to vet somebody for their political views?
I'm definitely with you on the political. That's his opinion.
Absolutely. And a locker room is supposed to be a melting pot anyway.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. If you start getting into that area, then you could definitely have a problem. So I didn't know that those tweets
he deleted
reached that. I knew he deleted tweets. I didn't know some of them were, had a racial component. But all that being said, just as a general rule, you know, come on.
It just depends on organizations. I think some organizations don't even look at the off the field and how they view them. It maybe if it was a once in a lifetime incident, they go, oh, okay, he hadn't done too much since then, or he hadn't done anything, you know. So I think you got to put it all in a different boxes. It's all a little different.
At some point, we need to define like what Twitter actually tells you about
right,
somebody.
Right.
I mean, does it tell you they had a stupid moment,
right,
or does it, you know, does is it really right, a look into their soul? I don't know.
When they talk about going back when they were, you know, 14 or 13,
yeah,
I mean, that bothers me. That come on now, man.
I mean, I'm around a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old that I have to tell them, you know what? You put that out in social media and somebody's going to want to kick your butt. So people need context. But yeah, exactly.
No wonder you don't have any hair left.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It wasn't just the haircut. 742 on 104.5 The Zone. David Beauclair is here from the Nashville Post. You can check out his great work at nashvillepost.com. He's brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. I was going to ask David about the Preds exit interviews yesterday when we come back. It's draft day for the NFL. Always a great day to head out I-40 to Wilson County. Mark, we have Payne Bone on the line.
That's right. Wilson County Automotive Family, a Bone family tradition since 1927. And that, of course, includes Wilson County Hyundai, our buddy Payne Bone. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, Mark.
Well, you're always a first-round draft pick for us, Payne, but talk about that end-of-the-month sale.
That's right, Mark. We've got a great end-of-month sale. I know everybody's going to be crazy this weekend around here, but it's going to be calm at Wilson County Hyundai. We have a lot of opportunities to make a great deal on a new car or a pre-owned car. We have brand-new Santa Fe, new body style in stock. We have a great selection of those vehicles. It's one of our best-selling cars, and it has got some great features. We did a piece on Channel 5 the other day about the safety features. We had there was a car stolen, and the police were able to stop the car using the telematic system called Blue Link that's in the Hyundai. So pretty cool. The car was recovered, and the perpetrator was caught because of the system in the car. So great features in these cars. You haven't looked at a Hyundai in a while. It has all the high-tech safety features, the blindside detection, the emergency stopping, all that stuff built in. And honestly, I drive these cars. It makes a big difference. So it's really cool. Check us out at WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Great selection.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Mark.
All right, Payne. Thanks. All right, that's Wilson County Hyundai. Great people, great deals. I'm telling you, fantastic service, and you're by loving it.
The Wake Up Zone, 7:48 on 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Have a little fun with those instant games. Play the new April instant games with top prizes ranging from $1,000 up to $2 million. Go by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Pick up the new April instant games today. Friend David Beauclair. He's also sponsored by the Tennessee Lottery. Want to jump in here, 615-737-1045. So April 25th is the NFL draft. Wait, that's today. Yeah, we've been talking about this thing forever, and it's finally here.
Man.
It'll be a wild scene downtown.
Hockey season officially over. This is a good
hockey
way to
season's over.
Good way to just sort of turn the page on hockey season.
Man. No game one tomorrow night or anything like that.
Yeah, but we can't turn the page there. Oh, Bokey.
Yeah, give us a thought or two on what you heard, you know, from David Poile and Peter Laviolette, especially with the long dissertation about the power play and what happened or didn't happen there, including a coaching change mid-season.
Yeah, I great dissertation. I transcribed that entire thing. I've posted it on the Nashville Post website. If you want to read it, this would be a good time to buy a subscription. But if not, it'll be out from behind the paywall late this afternoon. But it was 5 minutes and 10 seconds, according to my recorder, and it was 985 words. That's one answer to one question. When Peter Laviolette was asked about the power play, and basically he said, "If you're going to blame somebody, blame me." And I still don't know what went wrong or how we're going to fix it. That sums it up. It was one of the, I'll say this, I there have now been, 20 of these year-end press conferences. I've been to 17 or 18 of them in person. The ones that I haven't made, I've reviewed the video of. This was unlike any that I've ever seen. David Poyle, one of his great strengths is his ability to compartmentalize. And every year, by the time he gets to this press conference, he has compartmentalized the season and what happened in the playoffs and put it away. And his message is always, here's all the reasons you should feel good about what happened. Here's all the reasons you should feel good about what's going to happen going forward. And he talks at length about things. Yesterday, particularly in the early going, he was spitting nails. He was still there was an anger, and he was much shorter in his remarks than usual. He sort of got on track as things went along, but there's a different level to for the first time this organization feels like they failed. And I've never seen that. Pekka Rinne, I thought, had the quote of the day. He said, you go into the playoffs and you know it's going to be hard. The one thing you tell yourself is, whatever happens, I want to have no regrets. And he said, I think we're going to have to live with regrets this summer. I mean, it was really a different mood out there yesterday. And I think we're gonna see some changes to the coaching staff. I don't think there's any question the roster is gonna go through more change. That now a lot of guys are under contract for a long time. I don't know how much flexibility they have, but they are gonna be looking to do some things differently.
And, all right, if you had to make a prediction, who gets fired and who gets traded?
If I had to make a prediction, Dan Muse gets fired and Phil Housley comes back.
Which would be a very popular move.
Which, yeah, I think that's an easy sell. The number one trade candidate is Kyle Turris. The guy's had a year and a half, almost two full seasons to solidify the second line, which is what he was brought here to do. It hasn't happened, but what's his value is the question. And he's a guy who never says a lot. He probably spoke for about 3 minutes yesterday, and I think the word frustrated came up 18 times. Mm-hmm. And that was all he could say was, I'm frustrated. I need to be better, which is great to hear. But come on, I don't think there's any question that Ryan Ellis is hurt. We've talked about on here. We speculated about it when David Poyle and Peter Laviolette were asked about it. They both sort of bristled and said, well, we'll have announcements about health later. And, I asked Ryan Ellis about it, and he sort of did the same, straightened up, and, well, I'm not going to talk about it. The team will talk about it, which I don't understand that. If you're a pro athlete, you're free to talk about your own well-being and your health. But I think it's
clear.
Do you
think there was a time where he just didn't want to make it feel like it was an excuse for his absence in play? And he just wanted to
talk about injuries.
I'm sure they're going to want to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. Was kind of the response.
But the season's over. I mean, what do you have to?
Yeah, the season's over. Exactly.
What difference does it make if you talk about your injury?
In season, if you're a player and you want to, if the team doesn't want to talk about it, that's one thing. But if you want to say, hey, look, I've got a bad knee and they keep sending me out there and I'm fine with that and I'm going to do everything I can, right, yeah. I mean, okay. Say that. Why, you're a big boy. You can do that. I'll be curious to see what injury news we do get. But
do you trade a Subban, which would open up the opportunity to go out in free agency and maybe, make a play for a Panarin or a Matt Duchene?
I think you've got to move somebody from that defense group. I mean, I know it's, they're one of, if not the best, top four in the league and this and that. And
well, that might have been 2 years ago.
Right, and they are one of the better ones. Yes. There's no question, but 2 years in a row now, they've been overwhelmed by the forecheck in the postseason. It's like we said last offseason. I never liked the idea that they were keeping this team together. If you're not good enough, you're not good enough. And now here we are. This team is further away you know, it's moving in the wrong direction with this thing, at least in terms of the playoffs. Yeah, you won the division 2 years in a row, but, you know, no one went into the playoffs with a lot of confidence, at least no one who's watched this team, you know, about what they were going to accomplish this postseason. And, you know, the real interesting question to me is Victor Arvidsson, because he's so good and so important to this team and so productive during the regular season. And now this is two postseasons in a row where he's produced virtually nothing in terms of points. And so if the ultimate goal is to win the Stanley Cup, I think you're fair to ask yourself, is he a guy who's going to help us win the Stanley Cup?
What do you make, too, though? All the division winners lost.
Yeah.
So does that make things better or worse or whatever?
Misery loves company, I guess. You know, they're not the only ones in this boat. But this is going to be an interesting offseason to see what this team decides to do.
He's always productive in the hour that we spend with David Beauclair every week. Good to see you, man.
All right, thank you. Everybody All have right. fun this weekend.
He is super busy from the Nashville Post. And he's, of course, sponsored every week by the Tennessee Lottery. David Beauclair, a staple on our show every Thursday morning.